Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke.
Lights, smoke, music, camera, action!
Cirque du Soleil's Paramore combines, for the first time, Cirque's signature spectacle with Broadway's storytelling and song in a production currently running at the Lyric Theater in New York City. Set in the golden age of Hollywood, the show spins a tale of a beautiful young actress named Indigo, who is forced to choose between celebrity and success and true love. Ruby Lewis made her Broadway debut in Paramore when it opened in May of this year, and she joins us now. Ruby Lewis, welcome to the Roundtable. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Sarah.
Tell us first a little bit about, for people who aren't familiar, the story told in the Cirque du Soleil musical Paramore. What is the overall kind of plot of the play?
Well, it's set in the early 50s. It's the golden age of Hollywood. We're in Los Angeles, so imagine like a Judy Garland, Marilyn Monroe situation. I play Indigo, but she was born Verna. And so the story goes, she gets picked up at this, she's a nightclub singer singing in the club. She's got her her friend who writes songs for her playing the piano, and this big-time director comes in the club one night and discovers her, basically plucks her out of obscurity and thrusts her into the spotlight, into fame, into the studio system. And to be nice, he brings her little songwriter friend along to write some songs for his films as well. And as they continue to work on a series of films together, and that's where all the Cirque elements come in. It's like you're on this huge sound stage and you're watching all of these epic Hollywood films being made, all with acrobatics and just outrageous sets and everything. A love triangle ensues. The director falls in love with the girl. The girl is forced to choose between basically the director and the love of millions and the modest life and the small love of the songwriter who she's known forever. So that's kind of what happens. And then who knows who she chooses?
Right, yeah.
The path that she chooses, that's the spoil. I don't want to spoil it.
Of course not. So you mentioned this, the Cirque elements are a huge part of it. How complicated does that make the production for you personally? How much do you have to keep track of all of the flipping?
You know, now that it's set, it's kind of muscle memory and everything works like a machine and runs pretty smoothly, and I know where not to stand so as not to get kicked in the head.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, I am on stage during a lot of the acrobatics, so I get a chance to watch it up close, and it really blows my mind every night. And I kind of just stand back in awe, keep my distance, and it's fun. It's fun watching the audience react every night, and I just never thought I'd be involved in a Cirque du Soleil show. I've seen them, but I never thought I'd be in one, so it's really quite a treat every night.
Other than the outrageous acrobatics and feats of impossible to comprehend physicality that a Cirque mm-hmm. performance adds, this is a production of Cirque du Soleil. What else does that mean for the show? Is there a difference in costume or set or makeup or anything?
Yeah, it definitely looks like a Cirque du Soleil show in that they incorporate a lot of technology. A lot of the Cirque is known for being on the cutting edge of video technology, projections. We've got drones that fly in the love song that are just cutting edge.
What are they doing?
They're called quadcopters.
Okay.
And so the scene is set up to look like a grand office, like the director's grand office, on the lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you see several set pieces, including a few lamps, and the lampshades are kind of ornate. They have kind of a Moroccan feel to them.
Okay.
And when the director leaves, the set really opens up and it reveals all these other lamps that go deep back into the set. And this star drop flies in and lights up. And all of a sudden, all the lampshades start levitating.
Oh.
And then they start this crazy dance. And a lot of times people think that they're on strings, but it's all automated and it's all computerized. And I want to say there's like 8 of them or maybe even 10 of them. And they dance around us and we kind of do this crazy dance number together while we're singing and they're swirling. It's all very kind of, it's like an animated movie. It doesn't even make sense that it's actually happening. We do like we, at the very end, just to prove that they're not on strings, we hold hands and we lift our arms up and over one of the drones just to show that, you know, it's not attached, and the audience gasps. And then the drone just disappears into the back as if, you know, they all kind of just dissipate. It's really, I've seen video from the front. Of course, I haven't seen it live, but it just looks like magic. It looks like there's no other way to explain it other than a magic.
Just when you think you have everything, the truth becomes so lonely, making gold out of all that you touch. Without love, it won't add up to much. Just when you think you have everything, but still your heart is questioning,
there must be something more
to this life now I'm sure.
And if dreams don't come true,
then I only have one wish. At the end of all of this, there's you.
So in rehearsals, you had to make sure that you knew where to be to not get kicked and to not get flown into by a lampshade drone.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, the safety precautions for the drones were we went through quite a few little lessons there.
So I interrupted you when you were listing other things that make it a Cirque show.
Oh,
so you were at technology.
Yeah. Yes, there's a great, because it's, you know, set in Hollywood, it's very cinematic. They use a lot of video components and projections. And oftentimes, like, my face is projected 50 feet during my scene on stage. So it's like I'm doing on-camera work and on-stage work. And there's a number of numbers where they use multiple cameras and layering so that we can set up these moving pictures. It's all like, it's hard for me to even explain. but it's Philippe de Coufflet, who, you know, the director, it's all stuff that he's been working with in France for a long time. And his dance company, he uses a lot of projections and shadows, and it kind of tricks the eye, you know. So it worked really well for Paramore because it makes sense that you can see things on camera and as the audience would see them on a big screen.
Do you have a favorite moment in the show to perform each night? Is there a favorite number or bit that you get to do?
Yeah, I have several, but one of the most exciting moments for me is a trio called the Love Triangle.
I am torn. No one can win this twisted game we play. It's my move, but either way, a heart must break today. What should I say?
I'll lift you higher than he ever would. I'll give you more than that boy ever could. He wants to use you and he doesn't care. Star maker, soul shaker,
heartbreaker. I need some air, can't let go as I dangle from the corner of this love triangle.
Millions knowing your face.
Love then makes your heart race.
How to choose without choosing disgrace.
Can't let go as we dangle from the corners of this love triangle. Come on, who will you be?
Will you choose him or me?
I'm beginning to see
the three of us is one too many.
And the three, the composer, the director, and I sing, a trio, and while we're singing, there's a hand to trapeze act going on, and they are dressed. They're our doubles, basically. It's this like push and pull and lift and fall and throw and toss version of basically a love triangle, but it's like these acrobats are, it's just insane what they do. The trapeze lifts, comes down out of the ceiling, and it lowers and lifts throughout the number, and she stands on people's heads, and she jumps off of people and into the arms of another, like 10 feet, and it's just really exciting to watch and exciting to provide the music for something like that every night.
This is your Broadway debut. You've done national tours and television work and shows in other places, but this is your Broadway debut. Is there anything about the schedule and being there that is surprising, or is it kind of what you expected or dreamed it would be?
It's kind of what I expected. Having toured, I was used to, you know, having this schedule, but then traveling every single Monday. So I knew that it was going to be rigorous. But on top of it, you know, the Broadway debut has come with its own certain pressures as far as, you know, you're kind of the face and the voice of the show and of the product in this case. It's like Cirque du Soleil took a chance on Broadway, and I was the face of it. So it came with its pressures, but it's been really wonderful for me because I love a challenge, and I've just really embraced it, and it's been a beautiful chapter in my life.
You have another project that has just come out. You released a Christmas single, a version of Somewhere in My Memory, which will have proceeds benefiting the Alzheimer's Association.
That's
how did that come about, and why did you choose the Alzheimer's Association?
Well, I've always wanted to do a Christmas single to benefit Alzheimer's, because my grandmother, who's still with us, she's been just debilitated by dementia and Alzheimer's for years and years and years now, and she's my namesake, and she raised me, and it's just really, really hard on us, and, you know, it's just not anything you would wish upon anyone, and I feel like we're really on the edge of coming up with a cure, and I didn't want to do anything I can to help, so I teamed up with them. This producer out of Nashville just contacted me and said, hey, we want to do something. What do you want to do? And just let me pick what I wanted to do. And they made it happen. They flew to New York and we recorded it. And I can't say I did much other than just sing on it. And I'm really happy with how it turned out and happy with the message that it's sending out too.
Precious moments, special people.
Was the song chosen for its relation to Alzheimer's?
No, I didn't even think about it until it was done, and I thought, oh, I hope people aren't thinking that I'm being cheeky in that way.
Oh no, I didn't find it cheeky.
It could. Yeah. Okay. No, I just, you know, I've always loved the song. I was a big fan of Home Alone, and these guys, what they do best are these large scale kind of Disney-esque orchestrations, and I thought that song particularly would lend itself well to something like that. So that's kind of how it happened. And then it just kind of worked for the cause too.
Ruby, thank you very much for calling up today, and have a great time in your continued run of Paramore.
Thank you so very much. Nice speaking with you.
Ruby Lewis stars as Indigo in Cirque du Soleil's Paramore at the Lyric Theater in New York City. The show is scheduled to run through April 16th. Ruby's holiday single to benefit the Alzheimer's Association is available on iTunes. Links to more information are posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.